Lord Krishna is the original source of the Purushas. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Krishna Sarvashray Paramishwa Krishna Sarvashastre Kai. Thus, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is the original primeval Lord, the source of all other expansions. All the revealed scriptures accept Sri Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. E sabsidanta tumi jana bhala mate tabupurva pakshakara amachalaite. You know all the conclusions of the scriptures very well. You create these logical arguments just to agitate me. Purport. A learned man who has thoroughly studied the scriptures cannot hesitate to accept Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such a man argues about this matter, certainly he must be doing so to agitate the minds of his opponents.
Se Krishna Avatari Brajendra Kumar Apane Chaitanya Rupe Koila Avatar.
That same Lord Krishna, the fountainhead of all incarnations, is known as the son of the king of Braja. He has descended personally as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kaviraj Goswami. Is very conclusively making the statement that Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is the cause of all causes, the Supreme Godhead. And in the past two chapters, Kaviraj Goswami has made great efforts to prove this from every point of view in opposition to any arguments. So, by this time, we should all have the conviction and the philosophical and scriptural understanding by which we can defend the position of Krishna, Bhagavan, being the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, and the source of everything. What, as we have read over the past couple weeks, are some of the primary arguments which lead one to a lesser understanding of the absolute truth? What have we been reading?
One of the views is that he is the incarnation of Vishnu.
I want you to present these arguments to one of our devotees. Tattva. You prove that Narayan is supreme. You prove that Krishna is supreme. The arguments for both sides are already given.
Narayana is the supreme personality of Godhead because all the sampradayas very clearly state and it is also said Narayana para avyakta Shankaracharya, all the acharyas, great acharyas of the four sampradayas including Madhvacharya himself says that Narayana is the supreme personality of Godhead. So there's no doubt about it. That Narayan, he is the supreme.
Jai ho, Om Namo Narayana.
Krishnadas Kaviraj states about this that all four acharyas, they explain that Lord Narayana is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishnadas Kaviraj is explaining from different scriptures how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He quotes from the Leela, which when Brahma wanted to see that who is Krishna, so he hid all the gopas and all his cups. And when he wanted to see what Krishna does with this, when he saw that still Krishna was playing with all the coward boys and all other cubs, then you could understand he is not ordinary child. Then he wanted to have a talk with Krishna, but when he could see that Krishna was, when he saw that all other coward boys, they were none other than Lord Narayana himself, then you could understand that all these coward boys, they themselves, they are Narayana, and how Krishna must be. Who is Krishna must be something greater than all this Narayana. And also Lord Chaitanya quotes from Krishnadas Kaviraj quotes from the meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Venkata Bhatta. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Venkata Bhatta, and he was describing that he was very pleased the devotion of Venkata Bhatta, and he was very pleased, but still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give him the highest realization of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he was telling Venkata Bhatta, he was joking with Venkata Bhatta, that your Lakshmi, she is a chaste wife of Lord Narayana, but still she is desiring to have association with Krishna. Why is that? Then Venkata Bhatta was arguing that there is no difference between Krishna and Narayana. Then still Lord Chaitanya said, but why still Lakshmi Devi is wanting to have association of Lord Krishna, and she is giving up the association of Lord Narayana. Lord Narayana. So in that way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was proving that Krishna has some special feature which Narayana doesn't have. In that way he was showing that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Lord Lakshmi performed so many austerities, still she could not get association of Lord Krishna. So in that way Lord Chaitanya was proving that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything emanates from him.
Lord Shiva is considered the
argument now.
Lord Shiva is considered the Supreme Vaishnava. He says Vishnu Aradhanam Param.
But even when Lord Chaitanya himself is saying, Lord Shiva is also a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he himself is saying that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I don't know who is Chaitanya.
And there is no difference as far as Brahma Samhita, Vishnu and Krishna, there is no difference. But still we accept, just like a candle's original candle is Krishna, all other candles are lit through that candle only. So in that way we accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vedanta means the conclusion of all Vedic knowledge, the conclusion of all knowledge, Vedanta. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted to be the commentary of Vedanta by the author of the Vedanta Sutra, Srila Vyasadeva. And in this conclusion of all Vedic knowledge, in the first canto, it is said that it describes all the various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna is also counted amongst those incarnations. So how, on the basis of Bhagavatam, how do we accept that Krishna is the source of all incarnations?
Because as it's explained, that when Lord descends in this material world, there are innumerable universes. But whenever he wants to come in this universes, he comes through the agency of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. As just like, I don't know, this is Maharaj gave example. Or like he comes through the agency of Lord Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Whenever he wants to display his unlimited leelas in this specific material world, then that time he comes through the agency of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. All other planets, all in other universes also, same way he descends. Like he does not want to, he wants to act according to the laws of his own laws which he created in this material world. Like all other incarnation, they manifest through the different, like through the Shrudaksha Vishnu only. So same way, even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is source of all incarnation, still to keep that laws, he descends through the agency of Shrudaksha Vishnu. He comes through Shrudaksha Vishnu. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha.
That also, that is the Brahma Samhita, we are speaking of the simply of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam.
Krishna's Vyasa. Kaviraj Goswami very elaborately explains the meaning of this verse.
Ete Chamsha Kalapunsa Krishna. That he is all this, after explaining all the incarnations, and says, Ete, all these, Ete is specifically referenced to all these avatars, including Narayana and Purusha avatars and all. Amsha and Kala, they are portion, plenary portions and portions of plenary portions. And Krishna is the origin of all this. Krishna is Bhagavan.
If Narayan was supreme, Vyasadeva would have said,
Narayana angsi ye swayam bhagavan. Instead of Krishna's tu bhagavan swayam, he would have said Narayana's tu bhagavan swayam.
So Kaviraj Goswami explains that Vedavyas is the literary incarnation of Krishna, and therefore the four defects of committing mistakes, illusions, cheating, and defective perception do not occur in the words of Vedavyas. So if he's saying that all other incarnations are coming from Krishna, he is this original source of all incarnations, he is saying perfectly, if Narayan was supreme, that would mean that that Vedavyas is subjected to illusion. He's subject to imperfect sense perception. And therefore, all the Vedas would be rendered bogus. So this is one of his very strong arguments. Now, Sanat Kumar, I have studied the Vedas for the past 20 years, and obviously you Vaishnavas, you know, because you like to fix your uncontrolled senses on some object, you worship Krishna. But according to Yogananda, according to Shankaracharya, according to the real acharyas, we understand that the conclusion of the Vedas is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. This material universe is illusion. That only Brahman is supreme. And Brahman temporarily takes form only for the sake of those people who are too much attached to sense perception, to lead them back to the ultimate goal of Brahma Jyoti. But after that, not only do we merge back in, but the avatars also merge back into their original source. If you cannot defeat me, you must surrender to the impersonal Brahman.
This is this impersonal aspect. You can understand the truth in three aspects. That is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And when this Shankaracharya vehemently propagated this philosophy, because it was relevant for that period, because he had that mission. Because when Lord Buddha came, he denied all Vedas. Because that time that everybody was that means there were no qualified brahmanas, and then for the sake of yajnas, all the this thing animals were sacrificed. So in order to stop that, Lord Buddha came, and then in order to make then Lord after that law this Lord Shiva appeared as this Shankaracharya, just to re-establish the authority of Veda and the create this thing. When after some time the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to come to descend in this world, so in order to create proper atmosphere for the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, this thing Shankaracharya propounded this philosophy, and this gives us the information regarding the one aspect of supreme truth. And actually it's if we read the direct if you read the Vedanta Sutra by the Vaishnava Acharyas, then you can understand that conclusion of all Vedas means Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And if somebody just goes for the indirect interpretation of Shankaracharya, then he is bewildered by the world jagadari.
That means the Lord does not have a material body. He don't have material eyes or material hands. He has a spiritual transcendental body.
What is the evidence that he has a spiritual body?
This is the quoting from Brahma Samhita that he can eat with his hands. They are all transcendental senses he has got. So he can eat with his eyes, he can see with his hands, and when Ishwar Govindam Adi Purusham, so from Brahma Samhita itself we can understand it. And even in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says that I means that he is a person in which he has got a personal body of his own, that does not mean that there is no material body. So when he says I, means he has got a material, he has got a transcendental body.
Actually, the personality of Godhead is believed in by those who are indulging in the cult of bhakti, which is meant for sentimentalists and those who are on the emotional platform. For those who are really seeking knowledge, the Upanishads and the Vedanta give us real light, and they explain that the absolute truth, in order to be absolute, must be changeless, formless and without qualities. It has to be eternal. Anything that can change or that has variety or form, it cannot be eternal, it cannot be the absolute truth. So the absolute truth must necessarily be without variety, it must be without qualities, it must be changeless. And therefore we can understand that it is only the impersonal, undifferentiated Brahman that is the absolute truth. And this truth is repeatedly stressed in all the Upanishads also. The other scriptures may talk about the personality of God, but that is in understanding that Brahman takes on various forms in illusion. And when we rise above this illusion, we come to the understanding that the Brahman is supreme beyond everything else.
Thank you.
वदन्ति तत् तत्त्वविदस्तत्त्वं यज्ज्ञानम् अद्वयं ब्रह्मेति परमात्मेति भगवान् इति शब्द्यते. सो दीस् आर् द भागवतम् एक्स्प्लेन्स् दट् देर् आर् थ्री आस्पेक्ट्स् आफ् अण्डर्स्टाण्डिङ्ग् द ट्रूत् एण्ड् इट् ईस् लैक् ब्रह्मन् एण्ड् परमात्मा एण्ड् भगवान् एण्ड् दीस् आर् इन् द इन् दि हैरार्की इन् दट् आर्डर् एण्ड् भगवान् इस् अ सुप्रीम् एण्ड् it is also said in the Bhagavad Gita where clearly Krishna establishes, he says that I am the basis, brahmano hi pratishtham, I am the basis of Brahma, and and the, you know, it's considered as the effulgence, body effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
There are Upanishads, Puranas, all written by Vedavyasa himself. When he wrote all these Upanishads, still he was not happy. He was thinking, there is something, there is mystics must be there. So when he was thinking like that, then his spiritual master Narad Muni came. And he told him that you have not described absolute truth perfectly. All your descriptions are imperfect because you have not described Lord's pastimes. So when he described through the Srimad Bhagavatam, then he was satisfied. So in that way, he describes Lord's complete pastimes or personality of Godhead's different kinds of leelas he is describing in Srimad Bhagavatam. When he wrote all these things, then he was satisfied. So in that way, we can understand Upanishads, they may giving us some kind of knowledge about Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they are not perfectly leading us to that personality of Godhead. But Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the scripture which is spotless Purana, it gives us complete knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Actually, the verse that you quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam does not establish a superiority of one over the other. It just states that there are three aspects of the Absolute Truth. It does not state that the Bhagavan is the origin of all. It just says that there are three aspects. We understand in three aspects. So we understand from the background of the Upanishads that the Brahman actually is the basis and the source of everything. In fact, the so-called Bhagavan and so-called avatars actually also come from Brahman. They all originate in Brahman, and after they finish their leelas, they again merge back into Brahman. Brahman is the only reality in everything there is. And as far as Upanishads are concerned, what you said about Vedavyas, we should understand that Vedavyas has kept in mind that in Kali Yuga people will have less intelligence, and therefore they will not be in a position to understand the Upanishads. Therefore, to bring them up to a certain level, he has written scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, so that at least, because they know that this Upanishads are meant for those who are highly intellectual, it cannot be understood by the common man. So therefore, why should the common man be deprived of the absolute truth? At least he can be elevated to a certain level. For them, therefore, there are scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and others which at least bring people to some conception. And then finally, they will come to the understanding that the absolute truth is the impersonal Brahman.
But what about Bhagavad Gita?
Because when Vedavyas written all the scripture, and when he not satisfied, because he is not written about Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, and after, because 12 kandu is there, up to 9 kandu, he written about how Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in 10 kandu, because Krishna's lila and this pastime, this impersonalist cannot understand. That's why he never written up to 9th kandu, but when he everything written, he not satisfied, then he is just like sad man. So Narad Muni instruct him, because you have not written Krishna's pastimes, that why if you are not satisfied, then all the other people will, how can satisfy? So he returned, then after he instructed, then he returned Krishna's pastime. And another thing is, Shiva, he is one of the 12 Mahajan. So he is also telling Parvati that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is only one creator, and he is the absolute truth. And because Parvati is, he is asking question to Shiva that I have seen you are always in meditation, so whom you meditation? Then he explained, I was always in meditation to Lord Krishna's lotus feet.
They say that Brahman is, let us deal with first intelligence chapter. This Mayavadis call us as less intelligent persons, but whereas the scripture states that a person who takes the process of bhakti, he is the most intelligent. That is described by the Bhagavad Gita. And those who are jnanis actually are considered as less intelligent persons. And this is what the scripture states. What's that was?
Bahunam Janmanam.
Say it's that slogan, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Nyanvam Prabhadjante. That verse states that after many births, a person who takes up this process. And another thing is Brahman, it's says that everything comes from Brahman, but we are so far in the our practical experience is concerned, we are not seeing that anything is coming from nothing. That's why always that something comes from something, and so far we are not have any experience regarding that something comes from nothing. We describe that whatever Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and from whom everything emanates.
Bhagavatam even describes people in Kali Yuga as Sumanda Matayo, and I don't think any of us here are born in Dwapar Yuga. And Bhagavad Gita, which all the acharyas who claim Brahman accept Bhagavad Gita as a supreme, and there it is said, Manushim Tanumashitam, that whoever considers Krishna as having a body which is like any of us is a mudha.
It's called your Adi Acharya Shankara Amida. Sit back and listen to this blasphemy.
And Shankaracharya himself, who proclaimed all this,
has in his
Bhaja Govinda Moodamate.
You see, in the impersonal school, we do not deny
Govinda is definitely there. But we do not say that Govinda is supreme, that he is beyond Brahman. Just like you are quoting from so many scriptures, I can also quote from so many scriptures. If you take up the Agama Shastras, or if you take up the Devi Bhagavat, or if you take up so many, there is evidence that Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is evidence also that Shakti is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why should I believe your scripture and not my scripture? So if you want to quote scriptural evidence, there is enough to show that actually Shakti is the Supreme. That the two aspects of the Absolute Truth are Shiva and Shakti. Just like you are saying about talking about Purusha and Prakriti, we are talking about Shiva and Shakti. So ultimately we notice that this personality, the whole idea of personality is put forward just for those who cannot comprehend this impersonality. Because as you rightly said, we are less intelligent. Therefore, how can we comprehend this impersonality, impersonalism? Therefore, we have to have some personification of some this impersonal truth. And therefore, we have deity, Krishna, and we have the Leelas and pastimes to attract our mind. Once we transcend the stage, we will come to the platform of understanding the real truth and transcend, come to understand the Absolute Truth as it is. So, as it is said, there is different shlokas for different folks. So you can quote from your scripture, I will quote from mine. But
please
the question is...
Please quote. Please quote.
And further, you have quoted Bhagavad Gita, and you say that Krishna is I. It refers to personality of Krishna. But there are so many shlokas in Bhagavad Gita in which Krishna is saying, he quotes about attaining the Supreme. In fact, the 8th chapter is titled Attaining the Supreme. Why should we say Attaining the Supreme? Why should he not say Attaining Me? He says that sometimes, but also sometimes he says Attaining the Supreme. Or by doing this, you can reach the Supreme. Why should, when he's talking about himself, if somebody has to reach him, he can say Attain, reach me. Why does he have to sometimes say Reach the Supreme? So we can understand that Krishna is just giving us a message. He's trying to elevate our intelligence to come to the platform of understanding that Supreme which is beyond all personality.
we don't sit around at Nirvadavan and have these kind of philosophical debates. We discuss how much rebar to put in the concrete. And
since these devotees have so wonderfully answered your question, that if you throw an ostrich at someone and it's not successful, it comes back to you. So, now that you've revealed your disguise, you're actually a Hare Krishna devotee, trying to hide behind your previous karmas. It is a fact. The Upanishads are meant for the learned class, the Brahmins. And the Puranas and the Bhagavatam are meant for the Sudras and the Matajis. It is meant for them. And of course the purpose is to gradually elevate them to principles of morality, to give them some material conception that they can hold on to. And that material conception, of course, is the deity of Krishna, the name of Krishna, and various other gods. Intelligent. When we come to the standard of higher intelligence, then we can approach the supreme scripture of the Upanishads. We understand that Brahman is everything. All of these avatars are only temporary manifestations.
Oh, you're turning them back. So. Well, actually it is described that according to one's faith, one will accept some kind of scripture for understanding the absolute truth. So therefore it is stated that there are different kinds of scriptures for different kinds of people in different modes. And the Puranas, for example, are divided into three categories, one for people in the mode of ignorance, one for people in the mode of passion, and one in the mode of goodness. So all the other Shastras that are talking about the supremacy of the demigods are actually for those in the modes of ignorance and passion. But we understand from the Padma Purana that the among the Puranas in the mode of goodness, the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavat Purana is the highest. Therefore, it is meant for those who are already in the mode of goodness, and it can take one to the Shuddha Sattva stage or even beyond the mode of goodness. Whereas the other Puranas, they have their place that they can elevate one only within the modes of passion and ignorance. So if you want to understand the real position of the absolute truth, we may struggle and fight about the supremacy of one scripture or the other, but ultimately we understand that the Srimad Bhagavat is the topmost scripture, and if we follow that, then we can have a complete understanding of the absolute truth to elevate us beyond the stage of mode of goodness. It means that Narayan is beyond the material modes of nature. He is beyond the material manifestation. That he is transcendental.
And Shankaracharya also says, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. What does that mean?
Factually, from what Shankaracharya meant, the Advaitas say that this means that the whole material world and everything within it is Maya, is false. And the only truth is Brahman. Whereas factually what this means is that Brahman is true, that is correct. But we should understand what is Brahman and what is Mithya. These two terms we should understand. Brahman means absolute truth. And Mithya, we understand, is false, not in the sense that it does not exist, but false in the sense that it is temporary. Therefore this material manifestation is temporary, but it exists. So from the Vaishnava understanding we can see that although the material world is always changing in its form and content, but essentially it is eternal. Matter is also an eternal energy of the absolute truth. So we distinguish between the energy and the energetic.
So these two statements are contradictory. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya and Narayana Jagat. If we do not accept Narayana is beyond material nature, Nagira Shankaracharya. If Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya and all the avatars are part of Jagat, which he claims, that all the avatars are temporary, they're part of Jagat, therefore they're Mithya, they're illusion, then how could the same person say Narayana Parobhata, which means Narayana is transcendental and is the supreme truth?
See, Narayana and Brahman are non-different, and all the incarnations come from Narayana, just like the entire manifestation is also Maya, but it still comes from Brahman, because nothing is beyond the Brahman, nothing is outside of the Brahman. Therefore, even this material manifestation comes from Brahman.
Then why discriminate?
Because it is illusory. It is actually an illusion that is, it is an in-play of Brahman. It is a trick that Brahman is playing. And Brahman and Narayana are the same.
The same, we agree. But how could something impersonal play?
That is what it means to be supreme. When it is, the absolute truth is supreme in the sense it is not limited by personality. To put personality on the Brahman is to limit. Therefore the Brahman, it is supreme, and therefore it can accept personality, it can also be impersonal.
And Brahman is to limit.
Actually the Brahman is complete.
To play, you must be a person to play.
But that
I've already explained that Narayan and Brahman are the same. Now, which is more inclusive? According to the Shastra, Krishna says, Janma Karma Chale Vivyam Evam Yogati Kapata.
those who understand the transcendental nature of I am words and activity. Arjuna, who Shankaracharya accepted, if you go to Jyotisar, Shankaracharya worshipped Arjuna as the supreme student. And Arjuna said, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Itam. Krishna, you are the supreme Brahma. Now, if Krishna's form was an illusion, why is such a learned scholar who was worshipped by Shankar himself accepting him as the supreme Brahma?
Because Brahman itself takes the form of Krishna to uplift us. So by worshipping Krishna, we can be elevated to a higher platform. Because Krishna is non-different, he is a supreme Brahman. It says Krishna is a Brahman. In fact, Krishna is just an
I am the source and basis of Brahman. Where in the scripture does it say that by worshipping Krishna, you understand his higher level of Brahman?
Actually, for this we have to resort to understanding under parampara. The
one verse, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Krishna says, I am the source and basis of Brahman. And he also says, Mata Paratanam Nayat Kinchin Asti Dhananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. The Brahma Samhita clearly describes, what is that verse? Where the impersonal Brahman is the effulgence, the light emanating from the body of Sri Krishna. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. That means his body is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. If his knowledge is, if his body is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, obviously it is not a temporary manifestation of Brahman. So we have cited just a few out of innumerable quotes which established Krishna's personality to be supreme and eternal. I want you to cite verses. Don't just rattle on with all your words. Cite verses that prove substantially that Krishna's body is an illusion. I want to see direct where it says Krishna's body is illusion, because I have just quoted where it says that Krishna's body is eternal and supreme. And how, I want you to prove, according to Shastra, we have just proved that by worship that Brahman is the basis, Krishna is the basis of Brahman, there is no truth superior to Krishna. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavamumbapajate vasudeva sarvamiti. After many births and deaths of following these religious paths, one finally surrenders to Vasudeva. Where does it say after many births and deaths one goes through Krishna and enters into Brahman? You said there's different slopes for different folks. Where are your slopes?
Actually, the fact of the matter is that there are so many scriptures, but we do not accept their bona fides. Brahma Samhita, for example, we do not accept this Brahma Samhita.
But you accept, Shankar, accept Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, Bhagavad Gita we accept. But we must see that, you see, very often, it is always, as you rightly said, that the Bhagavad Gita is for people who are less intelligent. It is just the beginning of knowledge. And therefore, the knowledge is not given in the fullest manifestation.
So according to your higher scriptures, give us evidence.
The evidence is there in the Upanishads, which talks about... you don't expect to know the Upanishads.
This is the use of your quoting.
I can bring you Upanishads. You don't have a collection here, but I can bring
some. I can quote from one
Upanishad. Vyasadeva is saying, take away this glaring effulgence, Kulap, so I can see your beautiful form, your shining face.
But you see, Brahman can present so many different forms and so many different faces and shapes. But beyond
why
ultimately...
Why is he telling Brahman to remove its glare so I can see your shining face?
Well, that is to understand Brahman in truth. To understand what Brahman really is.
Here we are giving a quote from the Upanishads. That we want to see the smiling face of the Lord. We don't want to see this glaring effulgence. Clearly indicates that the face is the source of the effulgence. Now you quote from the Upanishads telling us something different.
Maybe I ought to do some research.
In future.
And then maybe I can uncover some shlokas.
and Narayana Paravyaktat, if Narayana is transcendental, which is spoken by, that means we're talking about the personality of Narayana. That means he is transcendental. We accept that Brahman is also transcendental. But of the two, which is more limited? Is it, if you have a diseased eye, is it more limited to, does it make you unlimited to pluck out your eyes? In other words, what is more a principle of unlimited from the point of view of logic? You have to try to defeat me. Otherwise, you're going to be a Christian. Is it more limited to have no eyes and see everything? Or is it more limited to have eyes and see everything everywhere? Which is a greater limitation?
Actually, we are limited by our conception of sight and seeing.
It says in the Upanishads that God has no eyes, but he sees everything everywhere.
That is because God does not need eyes to see.
That means he has no material eyes. But if he's seeing everything everywhere, that means he has eyes.
You see, we are limited by the conception that to see you need eyes. That is a material conception, because we have a particular body with eyes in certain places, therefore we think that he has to see only with the eyes. But factually, Brahman being supreme, every aspect of his can perform the function of every other, can perform all functions. Therefore Brahman can see, he can hear, he can smell, he can do everything.
You have just defeated your own argument. Because the idea of Brahman means no variegatedness. And you're speaking about infinite variegatedness.
We are talking about functional variegatedness. That means
functional variegatedness is variegatedness.
No.
You're talking about differentiation. You're saying everyone, he can see from any part anything. That's differentiation.
No, what we're saying is that
your original premise is that Brahman is undifferentiated.
What we're saying is that Brahman is omniscient.
There's a seer and a seen. So you're making, you're creating duality in the non-dual.
Actually, the illusory energy is there, and therefore the Brahman is present even within the illusory energy. When we learn to see beyond the illusory energy.
Right now, according to Shankaracharya, there is no energies. All energies are illusion. There is no illusory energy. Again, you're creating a duality in your concept of the non-dual. If there's an illusory energy, that's admission of the supremacy of Vaishnava philosophy.
Okay. So I will accept Krishna as the supreme person.
The Mayavad philosophy, this whole non-dualistic, Advaitic, it's all word jugglery, but it cannot hold. Because there's too many contradictions. The supreme, that we accept Brahman and Bhagavan are both transcendental realizations of God. But which is more inclusive? You were explaining before that the Bhagavatam doesn't say which is more inclusive. It just names all three. So, Satchit Ananda, we understand the Supreme is Satchit Ananda. Brahman simply explains the Sat, the eternal, the all-pervading. Chit obviously is describing the Paramatma, who is the knower within everyone's heart. And Ananda is obviously explaining Bhagwan, who is engaging in transcendental lila. And when Krishna says that his body is transcendental, that means Krishna has eyes that see everywhere and in everything. Is that higher than having no eyes? Krishna has ears, but he hears everything, everywhere. Is that higher than having no ears? Krishna has a tongue, but he tastes everything, everywhere. Is that higher than having no tongue? Krishna has a personality, but his personality is supreme and all-pervading. Is that higher, or is having no personality higher?
One is negative and one is positive. Which is higher, negative or positive? What is your answer? You're supposed to argue with me.
I already accepted Krishna.
Then you should chant and become a madman. So, everyone accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality? Abhijit? You will not find it. It is their interpretation. They interpret it that way. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that you're describing the Vedanta Sutra, but you're simply giving interpretations. He said the Vedanta Sutra is like the sun. It's clear. The meaning is clear. But your interpretations are putting a big cloud on it. So Mayavad philosophy is simply taking the codes of the Upanishads, the codes of the Vedanta Sutra, which describes the non-materialistic aspect of the Supreme Lord, which describes the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Lord, and they interpret it to mean that the personality of Godhead is an illusion. Although it's clearly said in the Upanishads, the Sveta Svatara Upanishad, it says, Parashya Shaktir Vivadaiva Shruyate. It means that the Lord has variegated energies. So there is much evidence to prove, but there is absolutely no evidence to prove this Mayavad philosophy, that Krishna's body is Maya, that Brahman is supreme over the personality of Godhead. So you can research if you like, but you will not find. All you'll find, you'll only find that in the commentaries. You will not find it in the original.
No, I did not intend to actually do research.
But we should know that for sure.
The Mayavadis worship anything?
Yes, they worship Krishna.
It says here that the Mayavadis
sometimes
distinguish between Krishna and Krishna's body, and therefore they do not recognize the worship of Krishna by the Vaishnava philosophers.
That means their idea of Krishna is not acceptable to us. They will worship all various forms of God, but only for the purpose of regulating your senses by fixing them on a particular object. But ultimately you have to go beyond that object. That object is just a temporary tool that God has given us to concentrate our minds, to regulate our minds, to purify our minds, and ultimately we don't need that tool anymore. We go beyond it. It's like one of the very famous spiritual personalities of the modern age. He was a devotee of Goddess Kali. He was a bhakta of Kali. And he met a guru who told him that you just next time, and Kali was, it is said that Kali was appearing before him. The next time Kali gives you the darshan, you concentrate your complete attention between her eyes and don't take it off until by you, the power of your concentration, she disintegrates. You destroy her form. And at that time, you merge into the same essence of Kali. So this is the Mayavad's understanding of worshipping the deity. You worship it until you don't need it anymore, then you discard it. You become the deity. You become the same essence. But the bhaktas, we accept in Gita, mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta shanatana. Shanatana means eternally. We are eternally part of Krishna. Nowhere does it say we are Krishna.
Modern-day Mayavadis who propagate apparently propagate bhakti and attract many people to devotional singing and dramas of Krishna and Ramlila. What's the fate of those persons who are becoming attracted?
Unless they're rescued by a bona fide Vaishnava, they cannot understand what is real bhakti. Bhakti means accepting the position of the eternal servant of the Lord. This is not really bhakti. What kind of devotion is it to me if I want to take your position? That is not devotion.
It's not a question of taking one's position, they say. It's just a matter of realizing equality.
No, we are worshipping God so that we can become God. That is not taking position. Huh? In other words, you don't want to continue serving God, you want to become that God. Therefore, this is unpalatable for a true bhakta, this idea. What is the fate? Of course, the Upanishad says those who mislead others, they go to the darkest regions of hell. But on another hand, if they're leading people toward an impersonal realization of Godhead, and they're leading people toward a life of better piety and religiosity in that sense, so therefore there is good benefits in that way. People are turning to God, people are becoming moral, pious. But the unfortunate thing is that they're getting the wrong understanding utterly of the divine pastimes of the Lord. And therefore, unless such people are blessed by the causeless mercy of Krishna and his devotees, they cannot enter into the real realm of loving service. So they can make advancement perhaps up to the impersonal level of.
What does Prabhupada mean by this? The supreme service of everything is naturally respected by everyone.
Where is it said?
The supreme source of everything.
Which page?
Naturally respected by everyone. That's page 209.
Which paragraph?
Second. First full paragraph.
See, it is described here that the natural obedience toward the Lord is checked if one hears this impersonal philosophy. The supreme source of everything is naturally respected by everyone, but this natural tendency is hampered when one takes the impersonal conceptions of Shankar. What does it mean, you're asking? The supreme source. In other words, it's the nature of the soul to respect and surrender to Krishna. It's the very nature, it's the constitutional nature of the soul. But this impersonal philosophy checks that natural tendency through indirect misleading explanations.
I keep seeing living examples, Maharaj, in my office where I was working. More than 4 or 5, all the very typical, they say that, yesterday I went to see my guru and he admitted that I know better than him. So now I am better than him and then I can. And he was the very one preaching to me earlier, right? Then he says, now I can elevate myself, I can do it, but I don't want to.
A cockroach can also elevate him.
So much of it.
Prabhupada said that about one famous guru. He was teaching levitation. He said, if in India, if you go to the holes where people pass stool, you'll see so many cockroaches going down to the stool pit and then coming back up. So levitation is the mystic power of a cockroach. Huh? What is so great about that? Hmm? What is your argument? Are the cockroaches self-realized liberated souls? They can levitate.
Next birth,
Perhaps.
So what you're saying is the most dangerous thing about Mayavada philosophy is that it equates the living entity with God.
The most dangerous thing is it disturbs the service, the proper service attitude toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the name of service, it's conditional. It's not unmotivated. Therefore, it's not considered to be truly a service attitude at all.
Although they bow down to their own guru and their own deities.
Yes, they render all sorts of seva. But the conception is averse to the true service attitude of Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that we are eternally the servants of the Lord. We are serving not for the sake of service. We are the service, we are serving for the sake of becoming. We are not serving for the sake of pleasing. We are serving for the sake of becoming. And ultimately, their idea of Krishna, Ram, Narayan, is, according to the Vaishnavas, offensive. Because ultimately they say that the form, the name, all of these things are tools, but ultimately they're illusions. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Madhya Lila, he explains that when a Vaishnava hears the Mayavad philosophy, it breaks his heart. He cannot a true Vaishnava, it breaks his heart. He cannot tolerate it. Hearing the beautiful, beloved form of his Lord being spoken of in these terms. So we read. Who gives class tomorrow?
Vaishnava,
we will be ready for you tomorrow. the idea of these questions is an impetus so that the person really thoroughly studies and learns the subject. Madhusudan did very excellent, perfect. The conclusions of the scriptures very well. You create these logical arguments just to agitate me. That same Lord Krishna, the fountainhead of all incarnations, is known as the son of the king of Braja. He has descended personally as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But such words from the lips of a sincere devotee cannot be false. All possibilities abide in him, for he is the primeval Lord. I offer my obeisances unto the feet of all who hear or read this discourse. Kindly hear with attention the conclusion of all these statements. Purport. Prostrating himself at the feet of his readers, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita entreats them in all humility to hear with rapt attention these conclusive arguments regarding the absolute truth. One should not fail to hear such arguments, because only by such knowledge can one perfectly know Krishna. And then he says, Siddhanta baliyachite nakara alas, iha hoite krishne lage sudrida manas. A sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial. For such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus, one's mind becomes attached to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahima Jani Esaba Siddhante Chita Drita Hoya Lagi Mahima Jnana Haite. By such conclusive studies, I know the glories of Lord Chaitanya. Only by knowing these glories can one become strong and fixed in attachment in Him. And Prabhupada says in one of the purports that false devotees may think that simply shedding tears will lead one to the transcendental plane, even if he has not had a factual change of heart. But such a practice is useless if there is no transcendental realizations. False devotees, lacking the conclusion of transcendental knowledge, think that artificially shedding tears will deliver them. Similarly, other false devotees think that studying the books of the previous acharyas is unadvisable, like studying dry empiric philosophies. But Srila Jiva Goswami, following the previous acharyas, has inculcated the conclusions of the scriptures in the sixth thesis called the Satsandarbhas. False devotees who have little knowledge of such conclusions fail to achieve pure devotion. For want of zeal in accepting the favorable directions for devotional service given by self-realized devotees. Such false devotees are like impersonalists who also consider devotional service no better than ordinary fruitive actions. So these types of discussions are very much recommended by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to get firm conviction and to strengthen the mind. And